You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
All right, here we are, another episode of the world famous Chick Whisper podcast. With me today is an old friend of mine. Not that she's old, but she and I have been friends for a long time. Let's just put it that way. Her name is Susan Bratton. She's from the Bay Area in California. She's a hot sex advisor trusted by millions of men all over the world. And she's also the CEO of Personal Life Media. Susan, welcome.
Hey, Scott. I'm super excited to talk about wild, riotous sex. So thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, you know, I was just accused of speaking dude when I coined that phrase, wild, riotous sex tonight. So I guess the surfer boy in me just is still in there somewhere.
Well, it's funny because when you and I were talking about this session we're doing right now, I was saying, you know, what I call it is setting the lover space for her full surrender. Like what a guy can do to get his woman to really surrender to him. And I call it setting the lover space. And that's a very, as you well pointed out, a very feminine phrase. But since we're really here talking more to men than women, most likely, I'll just let you know, guys, that although I'm going to be talking about how to create wild, riotous sex tonight, how to create a place where she can totally surrender to her passion with you. When you talk about what you did to get this set up for her, you can call it setting up a lover space for her, and she'll really like that.
Yeah, that's not in our vocabulary. It doesn't even sound like fun.
However, it's going to pay off big time when I tell you how simple it is to get her to be thoroughly delighted with what you've created for her.
Yeah, it sounds like cleaning the garage.
It's the opposite.
Yeah. Setting the lover's space. Okay. So we better define it. We better make sure what we're talking about here. So we're all on the same page. Go for it.
All right. So one of the things that so many men tell me is it's very hard to get their woman to relax and just enjoy her body and just do what we in California call dropping in together, letting the world slip away and really just getting into each other. And so there are some things that a guy can do to make it a lot easier for her to more easily let go of her day-to-day life, being in her masculine, and to become more feminine and more corporeal, more of the flesh, more of the moment together.
Right. Okay.
So that's what I'm really doing is I'm teaching you things you can do that are physical things, like stuff you can do in advance to make it such that it's just the perfect playing field for passion.
Okay. So this isn't a Haight Ashbury thing where we're tuning in, turning on, and dropping out. It's just dropping out together. This is a different California thing.
Well, it is tuning into each other.
Yep.
It is turning on with each other. And it is dropping out of your day-to-day stuff where you're putting all your attention on each other. And, you know, you've gotten rid of the kids, if you have them. You've locked all the doors. You've turned on the burglar alarm or whatever you need to do so that she feels like it's really safe to surrender to her passion with you. That's what we're talking about.
Very, very good. Timothy Leary would be proud.
Well, hey, that tune in, turn on, and drop out is a nice thing when you're with a gorgeous woman.
Okay, so it sounds like something I'm getting more and more excited about talking about. Guys obviously need to get their woman in the mood sometimes with all the stresses that we've got going on and even being on different wavelengths. It's hard to just come home and have this romantic evening that turns into doing silly together, especially with kids. A lot of times I'm just too tired. She's just too tired. She gets a glass of wine in her and I get a couple beers under my belt and it's just, let's watch an episode or something and fall asleep. That's not what you're talking about. So how can we set the mood to make sure we're on the right path if we really want to have this wild, riotous sex tonight?
There's four things that are kind of at the macro level that I'm going to talk about. One of them is the mental game. One of them is very specific, detailed things to do. The third is how you can get her to relax and open up to you. And then the fourth is how to get her to the point where she's completely surrendered to her passion. So I'm going to get the simple stuff out of the way, because surrendering to her passion, the erotic escalation, is the most fun part of the conversation. That's where it gets really sexy today. So let's get there. So the first one is that I want to really address that idea of what you were talking about. You know, you get home, you're tired, you've had a wine, you've had a beer, and, you know, then it just doesn't happen.
Right.
A lot of people think that good sex is spontaneous sex, but especially, I mean, that's great when you're dating and you're hot for each other and there's that early chemistry, but, you know, even a lot of early relationships, you kind of run out of all that oxytocin. So preparation versus spontaneity is key. And what this really is this is like preparing, setting the space so that it's going to be hot. So it's get rid of worrying about it being spontaneous sex. Make it a greased slide to hot sex. That's what we're doing here. So the first thing is no agenda. You don't want to go into this date with this woman thinking, okay, first I'm going to do this, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do this, because then you're in your mind and not in your body. So how is
and men never do that.
Well, you like to create a reaction. You like to see that what you're doing is giving her incredible pleasure. I can't blame you.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, it's like men are all about agendas. I mean, we have a little plan for everything. We have like little checklists and complete manuals for everything.
And the whole idea here is you've gotten the checklist out of the way so you can just relax and go on the ride with her.
Very good.
So the first thing I want you to do is, and this is long before she ever shows up, I want you to do some grooming. Now, different women like different things, but it's really, really good if you trim your fingernails and clean out the gunk underneath them. It's super good if you shave as closely as possible. It's really good if you whack back your pubes as far down as possible. First of all, it makes your dick look bigger. Second thing is that it increases her ability to enjoy herself if she is going to give you oral sex.
What did Larry the Cable Guy say when he was talking about his deck? The guys who do blue-collar comedy on one of their shows one time were all sitting on the deck, and they were making dick jokes with the word deck being substituted. And one of them was, yeah, you trim the bushes around your deck, it makes your deck look bigger.
Exactly.
I think that's what you're trying to say.
And it also makes her want to enjoy your deck more.
Yeah, oh yeah, because it's not such a musky deck. Yeah.
Exactly. So you don't want her like in the room while you're still clipping your damn nails, right? So get that stuff done. Plan for success here. Second thing is, it's really good to have a couple of clean t-shirts and like some yoga pants or some sweatpants or something, you know, something that's soft that you can start clothed. So that, because first thing I'm going to have you do is I'm actually going to have you hold her in a certain way, and you don't want to be scratchy and naked. You want to actually be clothed at first. If there's some lingerie that you have that she wears that you love, get it out, put it there. If she sees it, she's likely to put it on, buy her something, and leave it there in case the mood strikes.
The naughty nurse outfit or the French maid outfit would even be a bigger hit around here.
If you like the naughty nurse and the French maid, I would have a date planned to do that. Because what that would do, if you set that out, it may put a lot of pressure on her to have to do that. And if that's not what she's in the mood for, you know, that's just something to think about. Then you got to think about things like, and I'm going to go back to each one of these and give you some very specific insights into women and why this is so. Lighting, temperature, music, toys, water, fruit, lube, pillows, towels. It's a checklist.
Oh, so you're talking about more like the schoolgirl outfit and the big lollipop.
If you want to get out the lollipop and the schoolgirl outfit and add it to the pile, that is totally fine with me.
But no pressure.
Right. The thing is that if you put that out, then she's going to feel like she has to do it. It's better to make that kind of a date in advance. Like, hey, how about on Friday night, we get some, you know, Chinese food, we bring it into the house, and I get you that naughty schoolgirl outfit, and we do some role play sex, you know. Then she can think about it. There's some anticipation. It can be really fun.
Just be careful with the chopsticks.
Yeah,
they can get really pointy really quickly.
Exactly. If you're going to be eating sushi rolls off her belly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to have any Mugu Gai Pan anywhere where you don't want it.
So lights. Get a 12-watt CFL orange light bulb from Amazon. They cost like $5.
Unscrew get your pencils out and take out notes.
Well, the good news is I've got all this written down in a free MP3 that Scott's going to give you a link for. And I also have it all written down in a little book you can print out. Okay. So I don't know if you want to say the URL now or later.
Why not, man? Let's break stride a little bit. Guys, if you want to check out everything she's talking about here, this is all in a free MP3. Okay, did you hear the word free? Okay, she's giving this to you for gratis, nada, okay? Orgasmic Fantastic Sex Date, which is almost as good a tagline as Wild Riotous Sex Tonight. Orgasmic Fantastic Sex Date. You can get that from Susan. Actually, yours sounds better. It just has a better ring to it. Orgasmic Fantastic Sex Date at www.thechickwhisperer.com/Susan, S-U-S-A-N. Also, just like we talked about at the outset in the teaser at the beginning of the show, guys, you can go to thechickwhisperer.com and get show notes and links for everyone we've ever had on the show lately just at one stop. So there's nothing really to remember anymore except thechickwhisperer.com. But if you want to skip that step and go directly to Susan's download for Orgasmic Fantastic Sex Date, definitely slap a /SUSAN in front of that and you'll be all set. Go ahead, Susan, continue.
All right, sweetie. So get that 12-watt orange CFL and
orange.
Screw it. Orange. Get an orange light bulb.
Not to be confused with turning on the red light.
No.
Yeah, there's never been a song by The Police, as far as I know, about Roxanne turning on the orange light. So you're pretty much safe there, right?
Well, Sting doesn't know everything, honey.
No, Sting doesn't know much at all about orange lights.
Nope.
Go ahead.
Red lights are for hookers. Orange lights are for hot girlfriends and wives.
How about black lights? What do you think about the black light action?
Only if she's going to be wearing white clothes the whole time.
Well, I don't know. I think the black light is kind of hot because it's kind of psychedelic and it's not dark, but it's not broad daylight either. So it kind of helps you feel a little bit more uninhibited.
Let me tell you why I recommend the orange light.
All right,
it's because it renders women's cellulite impossible to see. It makes their skin tone look beautiful and they feel prettier and sexier. And therefore, they are more willing to take off their clothes and get down because they feel pretty.
Wow.
So if you want to put a black light or a red light on, you go ahead and have less sex than all the other guys who are going to
listen
to me.
Well, now, hold on. Them's fighting words. The black light was awesome. Okay, you know what I used to do? Let me go ahead and say up front. Let me go ahead and park this in a nice, neat parking spot so that we're all still friends here. The premise of what you're saying is absolutely brilliant. If you're going to go with either turning on a fluorescent light bulb or, you know, this naked light bulb hanging from the ceiling or turning out the lights, guys just really don't ever think about a happy medium in there. So I absolutely applaud you bringing up this point in general. But I'm going to say I want to go try the orange light. I'm going to go over and buy one at the store as soon as we're done. And I'm going to surprise Emily with that tonight and see what happens. Not that she has any cellulite to hide and not that her skin tone isn't wonderful, but it's something different. But what I used to swear by is lava lamps in the bedroom. Lava lamps are so awesome because there's so many colors and then they just cast a glow on the room. Instead of lighting up the room, they cast a glow. And then I had a black light and women seemed to really, really think that was cool. Never got any complaints. Always got a lot of, oh, this is really great because it's not really light. It's not really dark. It's sort of romantic. But the orange light, I definitely want to go try. That just seems really intriguing to me. But I like the idea. There's also another thing you can buy, crazily enough, in the toy department called The Moon in My Room. And it's made by like National Geographic Toys or something. And let me tell you something. The downside of this thing is it eats batteries like a big dog, okay? It eats batteries like a whole planet, to be honest. Maybe even the sun. But it's a moon and you hang it in your room like you would a picture, okay? And it's got a remote control and you can go through the phases of the moon in it and by God, it looks exactly like moonlight. So you have a moonlit bedroom with this thing. It is the coolest gadget ever for the room you have lots of sex in. You're going to have to trust me on that. I don't even know if the thing's still available. I bought it about 10 years ago. But if there's a link, you know, go find it on Walmart or just on Amazon and look for something called The Moon in My Room. It's probably about $20. I would say that is awesome also. But talk to me about the orange light. Continue.
Oh, enough said about the lighting. Find one that makes her feel beautiful. Number two, the temperature. Your woman is going to run hot. She's going to run cold. Whatever it is, make sure that she's not either too hot or too cold, especially too cold, because that makes it difficult for her to want to be totally naked and, you know, enjoying herself. So whatever you need to do to make that room a temperature that's comfortable for her. The next thing is music. Having some playlists that you've curated in advance that move her from romantic to erotic slowly over time, that kind of heat up the situation, is very nice to have already done. The next is toys, you know.
We're going way too fast through this.
It's all written down already, too. So,
well, hold on a second. You got it all written down, but I got some ideas of my own.
Okay.
All right. Let me just give them rapid fire. This is going to be absolute candy being thrown at the parade. All right. Let's talk about the temperature for a second.
Okay.
When she gets there, I mean, if this isn't your wife or this isn't someone you actually live with, I would say you want the place about 2 degrees colder than it usually is so she can snuggle with you. And then once the clothes come off after you snuggle, you're going to start heating up, because if you have all this adrenaline rush going and it's a really hot sexual moment, your body temperature is going to heat up. So a lot of times guys are really thinking that that's counterintuitive, because it's like, okay, women are always cold, this, that, and the other. You actually want to put a log on the fire and heat your apartment or your home up a couple more degrees than usual. That just puts her to sleep. That makes everybody groggy and tired. If it's a little cooler than it should be in the house, everybody stays keyed up and sensually awake. I've noticed that. So that's one thing I want to add. Second of all, music. You hit on the idea of making a playlist. And nowadays, here we are in the year 2016 almost, you can put your iPods into your television and have it play whatever you want. That is a relatively recent development. If you are still behind the times, you can get on Dish or you can get on DirecTV, and somewhere deep in your roster of channels are all these music stations. Go for smooth jazz or the old R&B stuff. If you get on iTunes and you're wanting to load up your iPod with the right music, just research what's called Quiet Storm R&B music and just give yourself about 2 hours, or I don't know how long you can last, but as many hours as you need of all those Quiet Storm R&B songs, and you just can't lose. Unless, of course, you're with a woman who likes to do the wild thing to like heavy metal, you know. I love women like that. If you have a woman you're in a long-term relationship with, of course, you can mesh that with her needs and wants and desires. But if you have no idea and you're going into this cold, go with my recommendation. Continue.
I think as far as music, you know, sometimes women like adult contemporary hard rock and others like Buddha chill, and you know, so being able to know what she likes and putting on this a station that plays it is great. So toys, make sure they're clean and ready. Water, get a pitcher of water and a couple of glasses, because if you're going to be making out and you're going to have a lot of oral sex, you're going to get thirsty. It's also really nice to have some fruit. Grapes are the perfect food for lovemaking, but a nice plate of fruit, some strawberries, some grapes, maybe some dates, a little bit of fruit sugar halfway through your lovemaking can really add some energy into the situation. And then I recommend lube. I like a couple of different kinds of lube depending on what you like to do. My favorite for full body massaging is organic coconut oil. And my favorite for lovemaking and intercourse is organic avocado oil. You can get them all on Amazon.com, and you could make salad dressing with them. And so you're not putting any chemicals on her body. You can go from, you know, stroking her pussy to eating her out and back again with the wipe of a towel, and it's delicious. So extra towels are really important. Lots of pillows so you can prop her up. Like if you want to give her a really good oral lovemaking session, you can prop her butt up on a pillow, butterfly her legs and put pillows under them, have her sitting up a little so you can look up and look in her eyes while you're eating her out. So having a lot of pillows for different sex positions is really good.
Can we talk about the avocado oil?
Yeah.
I mean, are you making pussy guacamole there, or does it taste like avocado? Because I've heard this recommendation about like 3 or 4 times now, because I'd always heard before, like, yes, use normal organic oil. Don't buy anything weird or special.
Yeah.
Grapeseed oil is what I've always heard people use. And we tried that out and it was all right, I guess. But now lately I've been hearing avocado oil. It doesn't necessarily taste like avocado, right?
It doesn't. It's tasteless.
Completely tasteless. It's I don't totally want tasteless sex. Perfect. It wants tasteless sex. I want to be tasteful. Well,
it'll taste like her pussy.
Yeah, well, it's not going to taste like, you know, a taco salad.
No.
Although you could make that analogy.
Exactly.
Have some fun with this.
So the last thing that you should get out, and these are all the things you want to get out and get ready ahead of time. This is why you're setting the space for success. And that is some kind of waterproof sheet. Like in a pinch, I've used a plastic trash bag, but it's wrinkly. It rustles. Yeah. What I recommend is that you get an organic cotton waterproof sheet and you just throw it on top of the whole bed. And then you put another sheet over that so nobody even knows it's there. And then if you want to have like female ejaculatory sessions with her, then she can just really surrender and let go and have all those kind of ejaculatory orgasms without worrying about messing up your bed.
I'm laughing because I completely concur 1,000% with getting something purpose-built. Yeah, you can't just start throwing trash bags at your chick when you're having sex with her.
Exactly. You're low on this trash bag.
You know, like, hey, let's. This is a great bit of imagery I want to, like, you know, intermingle with our role-playing and our sex play. Trash bags. Like,
yeah, we're going to have sex, baby. Let me get out the hefty bag.
I'm going to dress up as the glad man and come take you. I think we're dating ourselves here, but go ahead.
No, just you. I don't know who the glad
Nobody
man is.
Nobody knows who the hell the glad man is.
All right. So you have all this stuff. You've laid it in. You're ready to get on down. Now, she comes in. You're groomed. You've got everything. The temperature's right. The music is hot. Now what you want to do, the first thing that you want to do is you want to let her get out whatever emotional shit has been going on for the day with her. You got to let her verbally get out whatever needs to be gotten out, whatever needs to be said. It could be something that happened at work. It could be something that's going on between the two of you. So this is the time for clearing the air with her.
In our bedroom, that's usually because somebody farted. And it's usually the dog when we have to clear the air during sex.
Note to self, add to my list, get the dog out of the bedroom.
Oh my gosh, yes.
If I've told you to get rid of the kids, I forgot to tell you to get rid of the dogs and the
kids,
cats.
We did a whole podcast on this, Suze. Kids are the greatest birth control ever. It's just amazing. Yeah, kids, dogs, there's just a conspiracy, man, just to make you, you know, never have sex again. Yeah, go ahead.
So once you can kind of clear the air, the next thing you want to move into is what I call understanding her boundaries. And so there are certain times where she's going to have some boundaries. Maybe, you know, she's on the tail end of her period, or she's hurt her foot. And she wants you to be careful with it while you're making love or whatever, you know, like she just got her hair done that night and she doesn't want you to get lube in it because she wants it to still look good when she goes to work tomorrow. I don't know what it is, right? But she does.
It's going to be something like that.
It's going to be something. So ask her, is there anything we need to know, work around, be careful of? Now,
is that when she says I have herpes?
Well, you should have had that talk a long time before you got her into the bedroom. You should have had your sexual history conversation, and you should have already had a discussion about STDs and what you're going to do around safe sex. Now, I've got on my website exactly what to say, how to have those, what STDs to get, you know, what STD tests to get.
I was going to say, which STDs do I want today? Let's go through the whole panel and go shopping. It'll be a buffet, a smorgasbord of STDs.
But you don't do that in the bedroom. Yeah. You do that before you get there. This is what adults do.
I wasn't being completely serious. I was trying to help this. Go ahead.
Is it boring?
No, not at all. Stop. I'm just in a mood today. I'm in rare form.
All right.
This is big fun. I think, listen, in all seriousness, what you're talking about, we need to hear is, guys, because we go throw her on the bed, spread her legs, and do the wild thing with her. And as much as guys think about and say we love sex, when we're ready to be done, we really want to be done. And I think that's really a travesty, because the better you treat a woman in bed, the more you help her really savor and enjoy this as a multi-sensory experience, the more wonderful sexual things she's going to give you in return too. So I couldn't agree more with this conversation. I'm psyched to have it. I want to hear more. Go ahead.
All right. The next thing to do is when you want a woman to surrender is you have to earn her trust. And one of the ways to earn her trust is to not throw her down on the bed, spread her legs, and have your way with her. The best way to do that is to start with really holding her tightly. Women are very security oriented, and they want to know that if they open themselves up sexually to a guy, that they're also going to be loved for it.
And slow down.
Yeah.
Man, just like the most interesting man in the world said in a Dos Equis commercial when he was talking about speed dating, speed is not considered a virtue by women. I mean, it's so true. Guys just get in there and we get nervous and we start fumbling around and we start moving quickly. We shred her clothes off. Okay. Don't even enjoy unwrapping the Christmas present at all. And, you know, she's just like, okay, this is moving at hyperspeed and I'd really like to slow down and savor all that wonderful, luscious sexual tension. But men just, man, we don't know how to slow down.
Yeah, it's funny. On my little notes here that I'm going through as I talk to you, the thing I have circled in a big circle on my piece of paper says slow sex and has a circle around it.
Well, there's a time to just bang her brains out, but that comes much later in the process. Most guys, man, they're doing a Joe Pesci from Goodfellas imitation as soon as the door closes in the bedroom.
What's that?
Oh, I don't know. Have you ever seen Goodfellas before? Joe Pesci's real high strung and just you know, moving quickly. And yeah, let's move on with this. Let's go, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not good.
So the next thing you do is what I call give her the best hug in the world. Here's the trick to it. So you still have your clothes on. You've got your t-shirt, your yoga pants or your track pants or whatever. She's got on what she wore into the room. And you've sat down in the bed, you've cleared the air, you've gotten any boundaries out of the way. You've put your hands on her while you're doing this. You're just holding her, you're claiming her. But then you lie down against the pillows and you have her nestle in the crook of your arm and maybe put her head on your shoulder, whatever your body dynamics are, you know, your different sizes. You spoon her, but, you know, toward you. And you just put your arms around her and you hold her. What you're doing is you're moving her from the clearing the air and the boundaries to the settling in and syncopating your heartbeat and, you know, really slowing down and doing the dropping in together. And you hold her. And as she relaxes, what guys do wrong is they feel her relax. They let go. Like, oh, hug's over. She relaxed.
That's it's the Joe Pesci thing again.
That's just the first level of relaxation. You want to get like 5 or 10 levels. You want to get her to, you know, you've done a good job when she's drooling, when she's so relaxed, she's drooling. Because then you've gotten her into a really mellow place where you're going to start running your hands up and down her body. So each time she relaxes in that best hug of the world, pull her a little more close to you. And let her relax again. No rush here. This is where you want to really slow things down so she knows she can relax with you.
You know, another thing, Suze, is I think guys dramatically underestimate how much women love having a guy's hands all over them, as long as it's the right guy at the right time.
Yeah, well, and I also think men underestimate how much joy they get from holding a woman and feeling that masculine, you know, safety net of their maleness. It just creates that polarity when you're holding her without rushing her so she can relax. She gets to get into her feminine. That's what you're really doing here. So as you do that, then, as you can feel her melting, as you can feel her relaxing, then you just start nice long strokes with your hand. You stroke her hair, you stroke her cheek, you kiss her eyelids, you kiss her forehead, you tell her how sexy she is, you tell her what you adore about her. Because you have to, at the beginning of seduction, you kind of have to think that it's a one-for-one ratio of things you adore about her or find adorable or cherish with things that you find sexy about her. If you go just all sexy, then she's going to feel like you only want her for sex. Women need, they need to feel adored and sexually irresistible at the same time. And then she'll really open up to you. This is when you start erotic escalation. And what you're trying to think about here now, your game plan is engorgement. And engorgement is like when your penis gets hard, it gets erect. And that's because it fills with blood in the corpus cavernosum. You get a hard-on. You're trying to actually, before you even touch her genitals at all or her breasts, you want to go from the outside in and you want to work on her extremities first and get her turned on. And you want to get blood flowing to her genitals so that she essentially gets a pussy hard on. And the way that you do that is through gathering her hair, giving her long body strokes, giving her massages, making out with her, French kissing, sucking her neck, maybe giving her like kind of like a hickey, talking to her erotically and sensually, and telling her, moaning your turn on. Like, that's going to get her turned on.
And that sounds like the female version of a Bull Durham speech.
Yeah.
I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days. You know, it's just, it's so true. Everything you're talking about works.
Yeah. Yes. And then you just take your time and slowly you start peeling her clothes off and peeling your clothes off. And that's when you start really running your hands all over her body. You want to awaken her entire sensual grid, all the proprioceptive cells that tell her where her body is in space that are so good in men who do sports. That's what you're doing, is you're like, you're getting her to feel her whole body and be aware of it. And then you can start with things like the breast massage, and without going right for her nipples, you know, her breastbone, underneath her breasts, her belly, her ass. And then you can move into maybe a good genital massage, where your goal is to slowly work your way in her outer labia. Don't go in until she invites you, even with your fingers, with coconut oil or avocado oil. You're trying to get all the blood to her genitals, because if you can get her nice and puffy, then as soon as you go down on her, as soon as you start to stroke her clitoris, G-spot, anywhere around her vaginal area with your hands, with oil on them, that bringing all that blood, it's like the difference between how good it feels when a woman touches your dick when it's flaccid versus when it's erect. It just feels better. So the idea is to get all that tissue engorged and then do other things that you want to do, whatever they are, oral sex, lovemaking, anal, you know, God knows whatever you'd like to do. Get your toys out. But that's
watching Sports Center.
Yeah, that's just a good time for Sports Center. Yeah. So at the same time, where you as a man, you really like your penis touched right away, you know, like it's, we're the opposite. Like, it's really nice if she can just put her hand on your dick without feeling like you're going to immediately want to have intercourse. So you can say to her, you can touch me as long as you want. I'm not coming in until you invite me in. And then she can play with your dick. She can give you wet kisses. She can press her body against your naked body. She can undulate on you. She can put that lingerie on. She can start to come for you. Then you can, you know, maybe she can give you a hand job, or you guys can do some 69. It just allows her plenty of time to really know you're not rushing her, so that she can take her time. It takes, you know, guys say, right, 20 minutes of foreplay. That's what I need, you know, and that's,
Oh man, you can't put a timeline. But
that's
on
a good rule of thumb.
Start an egg timer on her.
But it's at least a good rule of thumb that guys know that they don't need to go in right away. So at least guys are like, right, I know I need to do 20 minutes of foreplay. You know, hey, why wouldn't you want to do 2 hours of foreplay? It makes the sex even better. But, you know.
Well, hold on. I think you want to start your foreplay before you even start the foreplay, if you know what I mean. I mean, you start talking to her and flirting with her even before you go into the bedroom, maybe hours ahead of time.
Right.
I believe in foreplay all day long, every day.
Yeah, you're looking forward to your sex date tonight.
Whether it happens or not. You know, around here, I mean, there could be, like we talked about earlier, any number of things that conspire to keep Emily and I from having a hot sex date tonight. But that doesn't keep us from flirting with each other and making each other hot all day long, which we do regularly. So I think a lot of times guys are often surprised by how long it takes a woman to get warmed up compared to when they would be warmed up. But I think guys are equally surprised when they're not used to doing foreplay all day long, how quickly women are warmed up once they do get into the bedroom. It's almost as fast as the guy is, as long as you've been doing all this stuff ahead of time. So I don't know if you see that as a time saver or kind of like raining on the parade a little, that you don't have to warm her up. But it's definitely something that I've noticed.
Well, I just think the whole idea of agreeing to have a date later, looking forward to it and anticipating it, her knowing you're putting in the time to create, you know, to set that lover space, not having goals and just going along with whatever, letting your desire bubble up together means that you'll try and do a lot more interesting things if you can give yourself enough time to allow that to happen. Because one of the reasons so many women struggle to orgasm is that they don't give themselves enough time to get turned on and engorged. So as the man, if you're setting the scene for slowing down and making her take the time that's required to get her genitals fully engorged and ready for orgasmic pleasure, it just takes all the pressure off of her. It's like, we're just going to have a great time here, and you don't have to do anything except enjoy yourself. And then you learn, you know, you've got all those great techniques, you know, all the different kinds of orgasms a woman can have. You can, you know, take her around the world in infinite pleasure with lots of different kinds of orgasms from all different kinds of sex. And then you end up realizing you've just had sex for a couple of hours and you're lying in a pool of, you know, bliss at the end, thanking God you put in the preparation to have some of the hottest sex, if not the hottest sex you've ever had together.
Sounds great. I think another thing guys need to work on is not shaming women for being sexual. That helps them really relax and enjoy all these different kinds of orgasms.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. I mean, who wouldn't agree with that? That's a safe thing.
But I mean, a lot of guys, they kind of miss that. They're like, okay, well, she's kind of being a whore. She's kind of being a slut. And I don't know if I'm comfortable with this. Like, women will say things and do things and the guy will start getting all self-absorbed about it. Like, well, who else has she said this to? She must've had a lot of sex. I wonder how many partners she's had. And the next thing you know, she's, you know, storming out of the bedroom and slamming the door behind her. And that's never good.
Well, doubtful that she'd be with him again. A man who shames a woman is dealing with his own shame. And it's not his fault. He's been shamed by his family or his religion or his culture or, you know, something that he saw or heard somewhere. And it is absolutely possible to get over shame. It's something you can get out of and go on to have a really incredibly satisfying erotic sex life. But if that's something that's ever happened to you, know that all that is just some beliefs that you're holding that are, you know, it's time to get rid of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Total agreement. That's one of the biggest crushers for men in terms of having a good solid sex life is that guilt and that shame that they project onto women. And it just gets ugly very quickly.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Your job as a man is to lead her in the bedroom, to make everything and anything she does okay. Unless, of course, it's, you know, really triggering in some ways. I mean, that doesn't really happen that much, though. Like 99% of the time, what she's doing is perfect. And to open her to more pleasure. That's what seduction is. And that's what the masculine sexual leader does. He keeps opening her to more pleasure, helping her to have all kinds of orgasmic joy, helping her to feel really good about her body in that nice orange light. And so the more you think through this orgasmic, fantastic sex date, the more you put into getting all those things lined up and then being there and holding her and then knowing what her boundaries are so you can work within them. I mean, the minute you go, oh, right, don't get lube in your hair, and she knows you heard her do that, she's just going to be like, okay, now I don't have to worry about my hair and I can let go some more. Like, and okay, there's one last thing that's a really big one, and that is that you really want to get a lot of feedback from her. The feedback is your ticket to pleasuring her at a level that she's never been pleasured before. So the more you can get her giving you feedback, which means you, instead of feeling like you did something wrong, it's, oh yeah, thank you. Yeah. Oh, great. How's this? Oh, how's that? You know, and it's not pandering to her. Her body is different every day. She's a hormonal creature. So sometimes she wants it hard. Sometimes she wants it soft. And as long as you can get her to confidently communicate to you and tell you whatever she needs to tell you, it creates that safety that lets her really enjoy herself at a level she's never enjoyed herself before.
You mentioned seduction, and I think that's a key word to talk about here, because you can still seduce your wife. You can still seduce your long-term girlfriend.
You must.
Oh, yeah. To me, the essence of perfect seduction is helping a woman feel comfortable with the sexuality, with the sensuality, as if this is all your fault as a guy. You're the one who made this happen. She can surrender. She can be thinking to herself, oh, I don't usually do things like this. But you have turned her on to a point where she has just relaxed into sexual submission. And she feels good about saying, oh, this all happened because you brought this out in me. You had this effect on me as a man and you turned me on. And what could I do? And the times in my life when I've had those perfect seduction moments, even with my wife on an ongoing basis, have kind of played out almost exactly like that. It's really hot. And it's something that I think is cheapened by the idea of the quote unquote seduction community and tricking women into bed and how many lays can I get? That is so contrary to the truth of seduction in my mind. And so that's why I loved what you said. I think that's what this whole podcast has been about, is how to seduce a woman you actually like and actually desire, as opposed to just getting laid. What you're talking about isn't getting laid. It's lovemaking. And it's lovemaking that's going to be pleasing not only to the woman, but incredibly thrilling to any real man who knows how to do it, because it's a learned skill and it's a very good one to have.
So true.
So I want to remind these guys one more time that they need to go get Orgasmic Fantastic Sex Date from you, Susan. And to do that, they can go to www.thechickwhisperer.com/Susan. And that's a free download, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. I've, in a very organized way, just reminded you how to do all of these things very specifically. I tried to do it in a nice, sexy voice, so it's a joy to listen to. And when you download the MP3, I also send you a PDF where I've transcribed the whole thing, because some people just want to have it to print it out and have the checklist and know exactly what everything is that they want to do.
Excellent. Excellent. This has been a great conversation. I know we could talk about this for 3 or 4 hours. And I know I've also been in rare form today, but you know, you have to have a little fun with this, no doubt. It can't just be all, you know, one step after another. And I know you are so completely passionate about teaching guys how to have good sex with the women they love. So I appreciate that so much about you.
Thanks.
So thanks for being on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. And thanks for letting me translate the feminine into the masculine. And I love that. So it's the Orgasmic Fantastic Sex Date is Wild Riotous Sex. That's our that's our co-creative combination. There you go.
Yeah. Orgasmic Fantastic Sex Date will help you have wild riotous sex tonight, for sure.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Thanks, Scott.
And you know what? I think we actually made this palatable to men more so than helping her find her love space or whatever that was. Something that sounded like I needed a housekeeper to hire to do it for me.
Setting your lover space.
Yeah. That sounds like rearranging the furniture to me.
Okay. Yeah. It doesn't sound
I like your
that
way. Too. I like how you described it much better.
Good.
Yeah. Very good. Very
All right, darling.
Guys, if you have not heard the news yet, we now have a full page with a picture of Susan and all of our other guests, some of whom aren't as pretty as Susan. So fair warning. All the notes from the show, links to our guests, and you can find that at www.thechickwhisperer.com. It's brand new, it's modern, it's cool, it's parallax and all those goodies. You'll love the page. Also, we have just refreshed the YouTube channel, which you can find at youtube.com/user/ScottMcKay. And you'll find some of my classic video newsletters all now in living HD for you, which is going to hopefully be a good thing for you since I happen to have a great face for radio. But they're in HD nonetheless for you to go check out. Good advice there. It's all free. And check it out. I don't put ads on my videos. I mean, how refreshing is that? That's reason enough to go check it out. So guys, lots of new stuff for you now. I have a brand new website at deservewhatyouwant.com, the brand new portal is there to go along with thechickwhisperer.com. As always, if you liked this silly show and the seriousness that Susan brought with it, that's going to help you have your sex life rocket to the moon, maybe even the moon in your room, if you're so lucky, then please give us a review on Stitcher and on iTunes. We love that. I devour every one of them. It makes my day to see your reviews, or at least just click that 5-star, let us know you're there. All of that helps the show in the rankings, which we appreciate very much. And motivates us to do even more shows and get even better for you. So until I talk to you again, this is Scott McKay from XMY Communications. Be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer podcast is copyright 2009 by XMY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the XMY Communications newsletter at www.xmy.com. thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for The Chick Whisperer Podcast.